everybody. Thank you for coming. We have with us today some of the cast and crew of the BTR Doctor Who Audio Adventure, the Magical History Tour. With us we have...
I'm David Hudson, commonly known as Runcie. I've got a small role in this one.
And who do you play?
I'm playing Jenning the Butler.
And we also have...
I'm William Billingsley. I'm the director, and I'm also actually playing Roker, although I wasn't originally supposed to be.
And we also have...
I'm Kane Major, I'm playing the Doctor's Companion, and my name's Guy Anwar.
And of course you have me, Matthew Kofoki, who is sort of jack-of-all-trades, master of none in this place.
So who do you play again?
I've forgotten. Also the Doctor.
Well, I play the Doctor, yes, that's right, and alongside my smart-ass companion, Guy, who I... Thank you very much, Kane. Yes, I pick up Kane in this story, outside, standing outside my TARDIS, and Kane's got a very shocked look on his face.
Can we just change that from he picks me up? To,
yeah,
he meets me.
Too much.
He meets me outside. Doesn't pick me up.
That just comes later in the script.
Just because I'm the companion doesn't mean I'm like that. Although there's nothing wrong with that.
You better stop now.
Keep digging.
I'll dig up.
Yes, that's what Kane's very good at doing. So, Bill, tell us where the idea came from for Magical History Tour.
Quite a good question. I think it came out of the shower.
Do you get a lot of ideas from the shower?
Usually. Yeah, I mean, you just look for patterns in the mould. It's all right. My shower's not that dirty, really.
You haven't seen mine.
I was asked to do a historical at some stage, and I was thinking, well, I dropped history in grade 8, so I don't really know a lot of history to do anything about. So I thought I'd do a historical where I'd make up the history. So that was kind of where it came from, and... Magical Mystery Tour, Magical History Tour.
Yeah, I thought there was a Beatles reference in there somewhere.
Are you a fan of the Beatles?
Reasonably, yeah.
Did you buy the new album? Even though they haven't made any new songs in 20 million years, that they've still managed to keep re-releasing the songs over and over again on various
CDs. Give them
CDs.
A break. One's dead and one got stabbed and the other one stopped doing Thomas. Ringo doesn't do Thomas in... That's often, sorry.
As you can see, Kane is the resident lunatic here at BTR. We're very happy to have him on board. He joined us... in the middle of recording the Gallifreyanry commencement, and ever since then we have delighted in his unusual style of humour, shall we say.
Speaking of lunacy, can you take the straitjacket off?
it is off.
Oh, okay.
So, Bill, getting back to Bill and not making Kane the focus of this documentary...
he'll be most disappointed.
Yes, I know he'll be most disappointed. He has a very sad look on his face, in between the inane grinning, and he's just...
Screw both ears.
One thing
I
we must...
you were making comments about that earlier.
Yes. One thing we have to hasten to add at this stage is that Kane is our man on the couch, who likes to have this credit. He wishes it was on the CD cases. It won't be due to space and sensibility, but we would like to make it known here that, yes, we do have a man on the couch credit, and that goes to Kane here.
Thank very you. Well he plays it too.
Yes, thank you. It's pretty hard being both the Doctor's Companion and Man on the Couch, but I think I handle it pretty well.
Man on the Couch does sweet Foxtrot Alpha.
I know, but the Companion does so much, so, you know, it's nicely balanced.
Yes. So getting back to Bill,
yes,
who was meant to be the focus of this first part and somehow
yes.
Kane managed to take it over.
Yes,
how did you feel, like, I know initially you weren't directing the story when it was first mooted until... I just said, would you like to direct it? And you did step in, because I think originally Vitol was directing it, or I was directing it. Someone else was directing it. It wasn't you.
Oh, okay.
And although my memory might be wrong about that, you might remember events differently, and they could be the more accurate picture. But how did you feel taking on the writing role and the directing role? Did you find that directing it was more fulfilling than writing it, or did you find that directing it was also a nice bonus?
It was a nice bonus. I mean, the fun thing with it was that I suppose I could see, okay, now this is the stuff I wanted to do with this. This is the bits that I wanted to come out of here and there, and here's where I wrote in all the bad jokes. But the I suppose when it comes to it, for the most part, the actors do their own interpretation, and they're really good at that. So besides, you know, I've got a compliment the guy that's playing the Doctor, because he's my boss here. So.
You're not getting paid.
No! But I suppose so it sort of gives a sense of, okay, now this is, I suppose, how I imagined it. And seeing it comes out, it always comes out slightly differently. It's supposed to. If it just came out the way that I'd written it and with nothing else in from the actors, it'd probably come out a lot flatter, but hopefully it will. So, yeah, it was sort of fun to see it coming to fruition.
And do you think you'll be pleasantly surprised or completely shocked by the finished product? Once all the music and the sound effects and general lunch paper scraping and scratching and footsteps on carpet and gravel and rice and peas has all been put in.
Give away all the Foley secrets, why don't you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Don't listen. You shouldn't have listened to that bit.
Oh, well, naturally, I hope I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that, because that's all my area of expertise, or lack of expertise.
It's called fishing for a compliment.
In the hope that he might get employed to do some of our professional stuff and get paid.
If that ever eventuates.
Well, it is eventuating, so we're on target there. So now, David.
Yeah.
You've been with BTR since the bloody beginning. Oh, and I do emphasise the word bloody, because we've been here now for, what is it, 3 years now.
That long, yeah.
It's been 3 years since we did that first meeting at the BDWFC where I introduced everyone to the invasion of the Daleks. How's it been for you over the last 3 years with regards to BTR? What's the journey been like?
Oh, a roller coaster would be one way of putting it. It's also been quite a lot of fun. I've also enjoyed playing all the famous characters, Daleks, Cybermen, and I've also enjoyed creating some original characterizations like some of the other characters in Beyond Traditional Recognition. I play the auctioneer in $6 Million Brain, and I've been quite readily complimented on that one. I thought I did pretty good myself. I've got to say, the most surprising thing I've ever had happen here was when I was complimented online about my characterization of Omega in the Cloud Foundry commencement. There was one person out there, thank you whoever it was, who actually claimed I actually managed to capture Stephen Thorne's recent characterization of Three Doctors. And when I first read that, I thought, how on earth did I manage to do that? It was a complete surprise to me.
Yeah, it's surprising the way fans can react to these sorts of things. Now, tell us about your character in this story. Who do you play again?
Jenny, the butler. Very nondescript sort of character, only has a few lines and a few select scenes.
I should apologise here, actually. Jenny was actually supposed to have really, really few lines, like about three of them, and I was supposed to be playing him so that I could get away with only having three lines in the thing. But when I was writing it, the character grew a bit, and I then thought, OK, I should give this to someone else who's now bigger than I wanted to be playing as director.
Yeah. So, do you think... So what sort of interpretation did you bring to the character? Like you say, he's a very nondescript character, but the famous quote, there's no small parts, only small actors, including jockeys. So
you haven't seen how big I am, people.
That's beside the point.
Out of the gutter, out of the gutter.
Yes.
Not saying a thing.
Kane just giggles, not really giggles, but more has this sort of cheeky grin on his face the whole time. Unfortunately, because this is the audio, you won't be able to see that.
We'll put it on one of the CD covers for you.
No, I dare say we won't.
That won't sell at all.
So, it might, depending if Yana wants to buy 400 copies. So
she gets it for free. She doesn't have to.
Yeah, I know. So, did you bring any sort of past sort of traits to this character? Like, when you were reading the character, did anybody from other, like, radio or television or film appearances spring to your mind as being something like this character as what were those who you based your interpretation of Jenning on?
I don't actually try to keep any specific characterizations in mind. That's what gave me such a surprise when I read the feedback on Gallifreyan Recommencement about my characterization of Omega, because I also don't remember how Stephen Thorne played it in The Three Doctors. I haven't seen that episode in ages. I did have a couple of ideas for a couple of characters I tried. I'd read the script through and develop an idea of what he'd be like, just from the context of the story, and try to develop a characterization that fitted that, at least in my own mind, and I also take some feedback from the director. I actually had a very bland sort of Jeeves characterization sorted out for Jenny, but I was asked to play it straight, so I did.
And I must admit that when you hear the finished product, he sounds very smooth and the reason I asked the question was because I immediately thought of Nigel Hawthorne from Yes Minister.
Yeah,
and that's who it felt like to me that you were basing the interpretation on, like doing the whole method acting thing.
Funny you mentioned Nigel Hawthorne, I've actually heard him more recently playing the General in the computer game adaptation of Jeff Wayne's The War of the Worlds. And when I actually went back and reread the original book and came across the dispatch from the Commander-in-Chief that the journalist's brother reads in the paper in London, I could actually come across as the general from the computer game actually writing that dispatch, something like, the Martians are able to discharge enormous clouds of a black and poisonous vapour by means of rockets, and so on and so forth.
Please don't say too much of that because it might be copyright infringing.
That's only one sentence.
Good. I don't want to get us into trouble. So, moving to our comic genius in the building, Kane Major, who's one of our new recruits, who, as I said, came in the Gallifreyan Recommencement and Darkness Falls to pick up a couple of odd lines here and there, and because other actors were unavailable. And then he starred more prominently in the forthcoming video adventure, Rapture of the Heavens, which we've just watched a bit of an edit this morning and seemed everyone's very positive about it. That'll be coming out in the next few months.
Eventually.
Indeed. Yes. And now Kane plays the Doctor's latest travelling companion, Guy Anwar.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Kane, tell us a bit about Guy.
Jeez, he's almost like me, really. When I read the script, I thought, he's very much like me because he's a smart-ass.
he's honest.
He's just making smart-ass comments left, right and centre, and that's what I do, so, you know. It's pretty much what he does. Gets on the Doctor's nerves. Excellent.
And that's something I would hasten to add that Kane liked to do to me at uni on a daily basis. So, tell us a bit about the situation that Guy finds himself in Magical History Tour.
Well, it's his first meeting with the Doctor, and I think from the very beginning, the Doctor's managed to get on Guy's nerves because Guy's been having to wait in the rain and he's getting wet, and he doesn't really... He goes off with the Doctor. The Doctor doesn't really want him there, so Guy's just going around, going along for a trip. See, I do that in the outtakes as well, a lot of the...
And, too many to mention.
Yes. Shut up, thank you very much. But he finds himself on an alien world doing just crazy stuff, really. He's big lizards and... I'm not sure if he knows if it's what he expected or if he's just looking for adventure or what have you, because, well, I don't really know that much about the character yet. It's only been one show. And I'm still making decisions with him. I'm sure the director's got something to say. No, he's just making noises beside me. I thought he was about to hit me.
Sorry? I think I missed.
Yeah, and he's just... Basically, he's just in there as the companion, does all the companion stuff, but he also manages to get on the Doctor's nerves.
And that appeals to you, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
The original plan, I suppose, when I was writing it, was to have... the start of it was supposed to have this idea that the Doctor is normally in control on the box. And instead, at the beginning of this one, the Doctor turns up. His guy is waiting for him, and he has no idea why. And so Guy kind of, I suppose, sort of tries to take charge. But unfortunately, of course, Guy, not being the seasoned time traveller, he can't really do that the whole way through the story.
Yes, true. Good point.
I could even form the very first basis of the ongoing story arc throughout the season.
Well, it could, but we won't say much about that now because
it's a secret,
which you shouldn't even know this much. So if you're hearing this, please go and slit your throat so that you can't tell anyone.
Where's a knife?
You know what I mean there. I'm just japing with my audience. Our audience, I hasten to add.
Yes, thank you.
So, Kane, how do you feel? I mean, because when BTR originally started, I have to admit, it was populated entirely by Doctor Who fans. Now, taking the obvious cue from Nick Briggs when he started the audiovisuals, not all Doctor Who fans make good actors. I mean, some of them are terrible. And that's my best Nick Briggs impersonation. So now an increasing trend is that we're bringing in people outside of the Doctor Who fan fold. Now, Kane, you're not a fan of the show as per se. I mean, you obviously watched it when you were a child.
Yeah.
And grew up on it like the ABC broadcast, like everyone in Australia did.
We're repeating Tombo series 12 dozen times.
Yes, exactly. So, with coming into this whole sort of Doctor Who fold, how have you found it as an experience?
Ooh, good question. It's been a good experience because I am doing drama at uni, so any acting experience is good for me, and that's why I originally did it. When I first found it was Doctor Who, I was a bit cautious, bit wary, bit... Oh, okay, Doctor Who, yeah, okay, it's... I had stereotypes and mental images built up of what these
people... None of us wear anoraks.
Wear Tombow scarves.
Although I hasten to add that while we're recording this, I am actually wearing one of the new limited edition ABC Doctor Who t-shirts. I'm wearing the TARDIS one. I haven't got the Dalek one yet.
So yeah, so I had all
that's about the whole range of Doctor Who merchandise the ABC shops sell nowadays. So we've got to get some motion going on this thing.
Yeah, I had images built up of what these people would be like, but I thought, no, go in with an open mind and see what happens. So I did, and I started off as the controller in the Gallifreyan recommencement. That was just a small little role, and I thought, okay, that's good. And then I was asked to be in Rapture of the Heavens. I thought, okay, even better, I'm getting building up. And now I'm the companion, so I still don't... It may be Doctor Who, but I don't see it myself as Doctor Who, as you people do, obviously. I see it as an experience for me. I don't care what it is. I just keep going with it. You could be writing about little children beating up dogs with clubs, and I'd still be happy to be doing it, but, you know...
We wouldn't be able to get it on air.
No. We just happen to be doing Doctor Who. But, no, it's been a good experience. I'm getting better, I feel, with each thing I do, so the best is yet to come.
Indeed. And on that note, we'll have to wrap it up quickly. Any final words from anybody about Magical History Tour? Unfortunately, half the cast wasn't here today, so this is only a very select group of people. So, but do we have any sort of last words from anyone here today?
I reckon it looks very promising as a storyline.
I'd just like to say thanks to all the actors for doing an amazing job. And I'm sorry that one of them unfortunately had to drop out through no fault of their own and no fault of our own, just couldn't timetable it. So if anyone's wondering why I'm playing Roko, it's because someone else unfortunately couldn't.
I'm quite impressed with it. I think partly that's to do with the director. He knows what he wants, and he'll make us do it again and again until he gets it, but which is a good thing, because then we get the best thing out for you people. So, yes, enjoy it. It'll be good.